we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
I want to thank you for being here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is what we are doing today. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I welcome you to Redemption Church. Hello to all our online watchers and listeners. We got YouTubers, we got podcasters, we got Facebook livers or livers, all right, and other social medias. We tell you all hello. Greetings from Plano, Texas. We always need a better viewpoint in life. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Like, you need to see things clearly. You need to see things the way they really are. You need to have a better understanding of your future.
Yeah.
You agree with that? You need to have a better understanding of your purpose.
All right.
A better vision of what is true and what isn't true. A clearer sight on what happiness is. We could always use a better viewpoint in life. For the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about this very subject called a vantage point. Do you know what a vantage point is? A vantage point is a place or position affording a good view of something. All right? For instance, you're on 75 and there's a wreck somewhere. Everybody slows down and rubbernecks so they can get a better view of it, right? You've dealt with that, right? But you've been in situations before where you kind of move your neck around, you're looking around, you're like, you want to, maybe you come closer to something so that you can get a better view of it. In order to get a better view of something, it requires a better position. And we're going to be talking about that position. To get a better view, you need that better position. Could we perhaps position ourselves today to see better the sacrifice of Jesus and to see his resurrection? I'm going to challenge you today to position yourself. Whatever situation you're facing in today, we believe that it can be answered with a better vantage point of our Savior Jesus Christ. We believe that. I want you to carry that in your heart. Is it okay if we just open up our Bibles today to Matthew 27? We're going to be starting at verse 62. We're going to be doing quite a bit of reading today. I would like the Word of God to preach to you today more than Chris Fluitt today. Is that okay? Is that all right? All right, we're going to be starting our story, Matthew 27, 62 through 66. And I want us to pay extra attention to the vantage point of a group of people called the Pharisees. What was their position and what was their viewpoint when it came to Jesus Christ? We're reading Matthew 27, verse 62. The next day, the one after the preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, the disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." Verse 65, "Take guard," Pilate answered. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So we're focusing on what group of people?
Pharisees.
The Pharisees. All right. What do we learn about the Pharisees in our little story right here? Well, here's some things we learned. They remembered what Jesus said.
Yeah.
You know, we remember that he said on the third day he would rise again. Now, time out, because Jesus' own followers didn't remember that. So these Pharisees had paid attention to what Jesus said, and they knew what he said. You following me? All right. Why is it that sometimes people that don't follow Jesus remember what he says better than people that do follow Jesus? That's a sermon for another day, man. Here's something else they knew. They believed something was going to happen. They believed something was about to transpire, and if they learned anything about Jesus, it was this. They learned that when Jesus says he's going to do something, or when he says something's going to happen, they learned that you better open up your eyes, because when Jesus says that, something is going to happen. When Jesus says something is going to happen on the third day, you better get ready, because something's going to happen on the third day. So they remembered what Jesus said, and they believed that something was going to happen. Here's another thing. They didn't necessarily believe that Jesus was going to raise himself from the dead. We see that in our story, right? They thought that his followers would steal the body. Is that what they said? Yes. They believed that the followers of Jesus would steal the body and then tell people that, look, Jesus' body is gone. He's raised from the dead. And they thought that this would be the worst deception that could ever happen. And then lastly, what we can learn here is this. The most important point, here it is. They did everything they could to stop the resurrection. They did everything they could. They went to the authority, Pilate, and they said, listen, this is going to happen, so we need guards. He's like, okay, here's guards. We need to seal the tomb. All right, here's the seal. Anybody who touches this tomb, tries to open it, they're going to have to answer to Rome. Rome will kill them. That is what they did everything they could to stop Jesus' body from getting outside of that tomb. How'd that work out for you, Pharisees? How'd that work out for you? My goodness. Anybody glad that Jesus Christ wasn't stopped by the Pharisees? He wasn't stopped, not one time. Which brings us to the soldiers, the guards. The soldiers aren't just any soldiers. These are Roman soldiers. At this point in time, these are the most well-trained warriors on the face of the planet. The Roman soldiers. And the soldiers tasked by Rome to guard the body of Jesus Christ. In other words, when you're a Roman soldier and you get an order, it's like it comes straight from the Emperor Caesar. And if you don't follow through with it, you're dead meat.
That's right.
You are dead meat. So when you get an order that comes from the top, you know good and well, you better follow that order. You better give your life to follow that order, because if you don't come through with it, your life's as good as gone anyway. So these guys are bought into the idea of nobody's touching this body. Over my dead body, are you going to touch the dead body? That's how they felt. They said it in a different language. All right, what was their vantage point? They were real close, weren't they? Let's read about their vantage point in Matthew 28, verse 2 through 4. There was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord. How many angels? Single angel of the Lord made just a violent earthquake. Man, I love God's power, don't you? And the angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. How do you like that? How about you like them apples, right? He, gosh, the place is shaking. This one angel, it took mighty strong men to move that stone in place. He's like, bloop, and sits on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. And now let's read about our guard friends here. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Now, these guys were just doing their job. Let's be fair, right? They're just doing their job, you know. We didn't come up with this plan. It was given to us. You know, we're not calling the shots around here. They didn't necessarily even have an opinion on Jesus. Their opinion of Jesus was probably along these lines. Jesus was some Jewish guy that people got mad at, and so we're fixing the problem. That's pretty much their opinion probably on Jesus at the time. But when an angel shows up and brings an earthquake and moves a huge stone and sits on it and is bright, shiny white, when this angel shows up, who thinks that suddenly those guards formed an opinion? Do you think that the guards formed an opinion about that time? You know, whereas beforehand they're like, whatever, it's just some Jewish guy. We really don't care for Jewish people. Now they're like, what? Shaking. And though as they're dead, as dead men, it says, that angel shows up, I'm telling you, all bets are off. Whatever they had heard about Jesus, forget about it. Whatever they had assumed about Jesus, whatever they had thought about this dead Jewish man, things had done changed right there. Things are changed right there. These trained, deadly killer soldiers of Rome were so afraid that they shook like dead men. Their greatest training had not prepared them for what they saw. Right. Let me tell you, all they saw was one angel. What do you think they thought about Jesus from this vantage point? Just some, you know, they were racist. Racism was just absolutely rampant. So they didn't have nice thoughts about Jewish people. They didn't have nice thoughts about this dude. They didn't have nice thoughts about being in Israel. They were being sent from their homeland. They would love to go back to their homeland, go back to Rome. But here we are. We're in this sand pit of a kingdom here in Jerusalem. These were their thoughts. But then this happens. They've got this up and close encounter with an angel. They see something happen that just floors them. What do you think is going through their head? Do you think that this moment where they're exposed to God's power might have changed them? Is there anybody in the house today that you were exposed to God's power and it's like all bets are off? Forget everything you heard before. Forget everything you thought. His power changes everything. Is there anybody in the house like that? My goodness. And we don't know their story after this. We don't know where they went. The last thing we know is they were shaken like dead men. They didn't actually die, but they might as well have been just not moving under their own power. So then comes another person, a very interesting person. I love this person in Scripture, Mary Magdalene. She was a friend and follower of Jesus, and she was coming to the tomb expecting Jesus to still be dead. She was expecting there to still be a body. She was there to clean his body because he was so hurriedly buried 2 days prior. She was trying to do what was right by her friend. All right, let's read it. We're jumping over to John chapter 20, 1 and 2. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running. Where did she come running? Where do you think she would go running? Maybe run to the tomb? Run to figure this out? No, she goes running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. All right, this disciple doesn't name himself, but the guy who wrote the book is John. So we think it is Peter and John. Are you following me? And they said, and she said to them, this is Mary Magdalene talking. She says, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb. She's not looked in the tomb, but she's just jumping to this conclusion. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. Mary sees the tomb open. She sees the stone rolled away. And what she does next reveals her vantage point. It reveals her position. What does she do? She runs away. That's her state of mind. She can't handle what she just saw. And what did she see? She just saw an open tomb. She saw a lack of guards. She didn't see an angel perched on top of the stone. We don't have any of that stuff. But she runs away. Why do you run away? Because you're scared. Because you're full of fear. Mary is full of fear. And she runs to Peter and John. Is she running to tell them great news? His body is not in that tomb. No. No, she says, they have taken our Lord out of the tomb. In other words, they have taken Jesus' dead body. We don't know where his dead body is. And she's freaking out over this fact. Oh, Mary, you just wait. You just wait. She tells Peter and John, let's talk about Peter and John. Having heard the stone was rolled away, Peter and John take off. They're running to the tomb. All right, the other disciple we think is John. He beats Peter to the tomb. He waits at the door, not going in. He just looking in. And Peter being Peter, he comes up chugging behind, but he runs right in. He always runs right into things, right? That good old Peter. Now, it doesn't say that Peter believed yet. He comes in. It describes what they see. They see the grave clothes there, but no body. It doesn't say that Peter believed. However, it does say that John believed when he saw the open tomb. So what do they do next? They go back. They go back and tell the other disciples. And they obviously leave Mary standing right there with them. And they leave Mary Magdalene behind at the tomb. And this time, unlike before, this time Mary positions herself to look inside the tomb. Her position earlier was to run for her dear life. Now it's to look inside the tomb. What does that look like? John chapter 20, verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. It's almost like she can barely bring herself to take a look. Verse 12. And saw two angels in white. Not one angel now. Two angels. Peter and John didn't see this. But Mary is seeing two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been. One at the head and one at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said. "And I don't know where they have put him." Now, let's be fair to Mary. She's been through a lot, right? 2 days prior, she saw Jesus killed in the most brutal, awful way, and she couldn't prepare his body. It was an injustice. It was terrible. It was everything not deserving, and he had that happen to him. And now she's just trying to clean his body. She's just trying to honor her friend. She's just trying to show her love to somebody who's gone away. And now she can't find the body, and she's just at her wits. And so, Mary, we give you a pass. We give you a pass. You're going through a lot more than what we've gone through this week, and we freak out. Verse 14. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. Think about this vantage point. Think about this position. She turns around and saw Jesus standing there. Finally, this is awesome. This is great. Oh, wait. What does it say? But she did not realize that it was Jesus. Oh, Mary, what is going on? Post-traumatic stress disorder or something. She's just having issues here. But she turns around. She sees Jesus. This ought to be the happy moment, right? But it's not the happy moment yet. Because she doesn't realize it. Let me tell you, there are things in life you need to come to a realization of. You need to have a revelation of. You can have Jesus standing right in front of you, but until you realize it's Jesus standing in front of you, you're going to keep freaking out. Some of you are worried about problems. I got news for you. Jesus is standing right in front of you. You just haven't realized it yet. Hallelujah. Verse 15. Jesus talking, a resurrected Lord. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" Heaven has a question for you today. Why are you crying? It's a running theme, right? Why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? I don't perceive to know exactly what's going on in Jesus' mind, but I think he's enjoying this moment. "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, hold the phone. Mary, I'm trying to defend you here. But thinking that Jesus, the resurrected Lord, was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I'll get him. Listen, I won't tell on you, but listen, gardener, if you have taken him, if you know where he is, just tell me where he is." Has she realized yet? No, she's now talking to God in the flesh, right? And not realizing it yet. Jesus is alive. Jesus is standing right there in front of her. He has positioned himself right in front of her. Mary is positioned, you get the point, positioned to see a physical Jesus. But she sees a gardener. Mary is seeing what she expects. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Say amen if you agree. Mary is seeing what she expects, and she doesn't expect a resurrected Lord. She's seeing what she expects. What you expect is usually what you see.
Right.
That's why it's so important you have a bold faith that just believes. There is something you could see from God today, but your faith level will dictate that. But what does Jesus do? Jesus changes the position, doesn't he? Watch what he does. I love this part. John 20, verse 16. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Does she get it now? Does she realize now? I love that Jesus just calls her name. I love that Jesus doesn't like quote Matthew Henry's commentary at her. Or like, let me teach you like some really deep theological subject, right? That's way over our head. No, he simply calls her name. Has anyone ever, like, have you ever been out and about and heard someone say your name and you're like, someone called my name? And it's like they're talking to another Chris or another Heather, but still your ears perk up. There is something powerful about someone using your name.
That's right.
And calling your name. It always calls your attention. It always brings you, whoa, who said that? He called Mary's name. With one word, Jesus brought revelation. With one word, he changed everything. All he said was Mary, and she realized her Lord was alive again. Can I tell you, all you need is the Lord to speak your name. All you need is to once in your life hear his voice, and it changes everything. Am I talking to anyone today that had a moment where the Lord called their name? I'll never forget it when the Lord reached out to me. I didn't hear an audible voice, but the Lord reached out to me right in my heart, spoke to me, and called me. My goodness, I realized at that moment he was real. But even more than that, I realized in that moment, not only is he real, he loves me.
Yeah.
Verse 18, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. This is her second time with the disciples. I have seen the Lord. She's the first one to preach a resurrected Jesus. You people that don't believe in women preachers, get a load of that. She preaches to those disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said things to her. So now she's sharing the things that he said. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear, they're still afraid. Who are they afraid of? They're afraid of the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, right? With the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. This is the part of the Bible where we just realize Jesus just shows up in the room. They had the doors locked. There's no way in and out of that room. And then suddenly, Jesus is like, hey guys, they're like, ah! I figure it's like that. We thought you were a Pharisee. Far from it, right? I love that this happens right here. And Jesus says to them, what? What does he say to them? Peace be with you. Let me tell you, Jesus could have said, where were you guys? He could have said, I only saw John at my crucifixion. Peter, where were you? That's not his message. When Jesus shows up in your life, here's his message. Peace be with you. He wants to give you peace today. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his sides. And his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. After he said this, the disciples were overjoyed. They were filled with joy with the Lord. What, before this moment, were they filled with joy? No. Even though they knew the tomb was empty, even though Mary had said, I've seen the Lord, here's what he said. Even though they had walked with Jesus and he told them tirelessly over and over again, listen, guys, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again. Listen, it's got to happen. Even all of that is happening. They are huddled in their room thinking the world is about to end when Jesus shows up. The joy only comes when Jesus shows up and brings revelation. The joy comes when you see Jesus. The joy comes when you see Jesus and he's not mad at you, but he's madly in love with you. That's where the joy comes. Filled with joy. Moments before this, uncertainty, fear, heartache, and guilt, but a resurrected Jesus, he changes all of that. When they saw Jesus, when they saw his hands, when they saw his side, this vantage point, this position changed everything. Now, I'll get this. They're still in a room with a locked door. There's still Jewish leaders that are looking for him. Let me tell you, the situation on the outside didn't change. The situation changed on the inside. He didn't change where they were standing. He changed their position. He changed what they saw in the spirit. I tell you what, today, you might be asking, God, just change everything in my life. That's probably not what he's going to do today. He's going to change what you see. He's going to change your position on how he loves you. He's going to change your position on how you believe and how you have faith. And that is what's going to bring about the change. That's what's going to bring the joy. I don't know what you're facing today, but a resurrected Lord, he changes everything. He changes everything. But there was one guy that wasn't there. What was that guy's name? Thomas. And we always call this part Doubting Thomas, right? Do not, when you get to heaven, call him Doubting Thomas. That would be so rude. Linus, don't do it. There was a disciple not present when Jesus appeared. Verse 24, now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. Now wait, isn't this what Mary Magdalene said? She said it to them and it made no difference in them. And then they've seen the Lord and they say, we've seen the Lord. And he's like, how does he respond to that? He's like, praise God, I knew it. No. Right? No. We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hand, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. It didn't matter what they said about Jesus, the testimony that they gave, he wasn't going to believe based on his vantage point. Unless I see. Unless I'm positioned where I can actually touch the nail prints in his hands. Thomas is positioned to see defeat, to see doubt, and to see despair, not to see the resurrection. It is all he can see. He is thinking that he will never see his friend Jesus again. I'm not saying he doesn't love Jesus. I'm saying he doesn't have faith that he'll ever see this resurrected Jesus. And it doesn't matter what people say. Dead people just don't come from the grave. And it's just a logical way to think. And that's what he's going to believe. That's his vantage point. I got news for you, Thomas, and I got news for you today. God does illogical things. Jesus Christ does illogical things. Dead people don't come back from the dead. Well, Jesus is like, all right, you just watch this. Sick people don't get healed. People with cancer don't get healed. Jesus says, oh yeah, you watch this. And people, you go down in a grave, you're never coming out. You just get ready, because Jesus says, you just wait. Yeah. Amen. That's my Jesus. Is that your Jesus? Yeah. So how does Jesus see Thomas? We've talked about Thomas's vantage point here. What is Jesus's vantage point looking at Thomas. And there's a lot of ways you and I might respond here that are less than kind, right? What is the vantage point of the resurrected one towards the doubter? Let's look at what Jesus saw, verse 26, a week later. So this is not 5 minutes later. This is a week of angst and torment. His disciples were in the house again, and this time Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, they still lock in those doors, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said what? Peace be with you. Oh, I love it. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Well, let me tell you, once again, Jesus doesn't come storming around in anger. Thomas, where were you? Thomas, you didn't believe that I came back from the grave? Your brothers, the other disciples told you it happened. Mary has told you it happened. And you didn't believe. Who do you think you are, Thomas? No, he doesn't do anything like that. Jesus doesn't flip out on Thomas. Instead, Jesus positions himself in front of Thomas. In front of the doubter. And what does he do? He presents his hand. He presents his hands. He presents his side. You know what that's like? It's like Jesus is saying, Thomas, whatever you need to believe, I'll give it to you. You need to touch these hands. Unless you see these hands, let's go further than that. Why don't you touch them? He said, unless I see his hands. Jesus goes further. Not only could you just see them, you can touch them. Not only you said, just see my side. Don't just see my side. Get a load of me. I'm alive. I'm alive. And I embrace you. Jesus gave Thomas what he needed to believe and more. If you have faith issues, if you have doubt issues, if you're in this place, you're like, I don't know if this whole stuff is real. I don't know if Jesus is really a risen guy or not. Maybe he was just a man. You are in a great place. We're so glad you're here. Jesus wants to give you everything you need to become a believer. He wants to. In fact, let me just be bold enough to tell you, he could do it today if you want him to. He will offer you something that you can experience. He will offer you something that you, more than just seeing, feeling and touching and experiencing his presence. Thomas simply didn't believe that Jesus was alive. That's where he was. But now, Thomas goes beyond believing that Jesus is alive. He receives a revelation that goes beyond Jesus has a pulse. He has a new revelation. What does he say to the Lord? He says, my Lord and my God. You see, he was just happy with the idea of, I want to know if he's alive or not. But Jesus gave him so much more than that. Let me tell you today, if you're wondering if Jesus is real or not, not only is he real, he wants to give you a revelation. He wants to give you a revelation of his love. He wants to give you a revelation that he is good. He wants to give you a revelation that he cares for you and he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He wants to give you all of that and more. You believe that about Jesus? My Lord and my God. Jesus is alive, y'all. Jesus is the resurrected Lord. But are you positioned where you can see him? What's so great about this story is when Thomas couldn't position himself to see Jesus, Jesus just shows up in the room and positions himself right in front of him. Do you want Jesus to position himself right in front of you today? To get a new revelation, to get something brand new in him? Not everyone who was near to Jesus really saw him. People who were near to Jesus physically, they're near to him in the physical, they mistook him for something, or someone else, a gardener, something else. But Jesus positioned himself where Mary Magdalene could see her. He called her name. And he positioned himself where the disciples knew he was alive. He positioned himself before Thomas, even though he had doubts. He didn't wait till Thomas had faith to reveal himself to Thomas. My goodness. A resurrected Jesus wants to change your vantage point for you to see him like you've never seen him before. So we've talked about everybody in this story. There's so many more we could talk about. We could talk about those that are on the Emmaus Road. We could talk about even Paul. Paul refers to himself as somebody that Jesus revealed himself to, one born out of season. We could go through all that. We don't have time to do today. So let's talk about you. Let's talk about you. We would really like to bring you into this story. Do you see him? Do you have doubt like Thomas? That's okay. The worst thing you can do with doubt is to like hide it. The best thing you can do with your doubt is just to speak it out. When Thomas spoke it out, Jesus answered. Are you seeing someone else like Mary? Sometimes we don't see Jesus, we see a religion. John 11, 25 and through 26. This is our memory verse. I'd love you to read it with me. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Is this what you believe? The one who lives... It's like my breath is, I believe in Jesus. It's like my heartbeat is, I believe in Jesus. It's like my food is, I believe in Jesus. It's like when I'm thirsty, I reach for, I believe in Jesus. And if you believe in Jesus, if you live by believing in Jesus, he says something crazy. He says, you will never die. You will have an eternal life. Do you believe this? Go ahead and clap your hands if you believe that. I believe it. I believe it. I live by believing in it. I may be speaking to people that have not come to faith yet. We love you. We're so glad you're here. You please come back. Let's talk it over. Let's have coffee. Whatever. Let's do it. Here's what I want you to know. We're in this moment, I believe Jesus is here. I believe he's positioning himself ready to give you everything you need in order to believe in him. I believe in a few moments when we open up this altar, I believe that you can position yourself to receive that very thing, okay? I want to challenge you to do it. And I know I'm also speaking to people who already believe in the resurrected Jesus. Awesome. Welcome to Team Jesus, right? But is there something he wants to show you today that you don't quite see? Is there something today he wants to reveal to you that you're not quite positioned to see? He wants to reveal it to you today. I believe that. I think he's trying to bring us to a brand new position to see things clearly. Let me tell you, walking with Jesus is not a one-time experience. It's an everyday thing. Those that live by believing in him, it's an everyday thing. You need to get that in your life. And we would really be missing out today, as I'm drawing to a close. We'd really be missing out today if we didn't talk to you about your enemy. Because your enemy's in this story. Your enemy's in this story. We'd really be missing great moments if we didn't bring your enemy right into the middle of this story. What was the enemy's vantage point? What was the enemy seeing? What did hell see? What do you think hell saw as they were completely in control over souls, but something happened to their keys? What did the devil see? Don't you know that the devil was throwing a party on the crucifixion night? Don't you know he was throwing a party as they rolled that stone into place? But what did the devil see? I tell you, I believe the devil shook like no Roman soldier ever shook. I believe that he came unglued. He lost control over every soul he's ever had control over. The liar just lost to the truth, y'all. Hell, the devil, let's go here. How about your guilt and your shame? I tell you what, your guilt and your shame would be so entrenched without Jesus. Jesus beats your guilt. Jesus beats your shame. He frees you from all those things.
Thank you, Jesus.
Goodness, can't you just see sin losing its grip on your life? Sin had a hold of your life, but the Bible says he became sin who knew, trying to grab you, who knew no sin that you, Jesus took your sin, and what did you become? How does the rest of that verse go? You might become his righteousness. Do you get that? What, oh man, what a big loss that was. Sin totally lost in that moment when you became his righteousness. And sin was defeated once and for all on the cross. I love this verse. This ought to be your Easter verse forever. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. We'll read on for a little bit. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave most of your sins. He forgave someone help me. What does that say? He forgave us all our sins. All right, y'all preach with me a little bit. Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Well, let me get this straight. You were dead, but now you're alive. All your sins had you forever, but now you are forgiven. Your debts, they were canceled, it says. And they were nailed where? Nailed to the cross. Oh, man. The powers over you. What did it say? He disarmed the powers and authorities. I tell you what, sin had authority over you. Satan had authority over you. And it's like, they're disarmed. It's like they had a gun on you and they're like, where'd my gun go? And Jesus was like Chuck Norris and he like kicked it out of their hands. Grabbed it. He disarmed all the powers and authority. I'm telling you, if you've got guilt in your life trying to have authority over you, it has already been disarmed. Push that thing out of the way. If you're worried about past sin, push it out of the way. It's been disarmed. And I love this part. He made a public spectacle of them. The word there is fool, like a court jester was a fool. The king would come in on a march, but before the king would go, they would send out a fool for everybody to laugh at. That's the word for spectacle. The powers and authorities that thought they had control over you, God has made them your fool. They go before you and they are a big laughingstock joke. That's what hell is for you now. That's what sin is for you now. That's what depression is for you now. Let's just go there. That's what cancer is for you now. That's what your fear is for you now. He's made a joke over the devil and every bit of his works.
That's right.
And all that remains is a triumphant cross. The Pharisees did everything they could to stop the resurrection, didn't they? The guards were there to stop the resurrection. The people that should have believed in the resurrection didn't believe in the resurrection. All of this stuff happens in our story. You got to know that the forces of darkness wanted to stop the resurrection. If it took every demon in hell, don't you know Lucifer would have sent every demon in hell to keep Jesus in the grave. But he is risen. But he is risen. Don't you get a load of that vantage point? Because that changes everything. Jesus Christ is risen. So what do you need to do today? Let me tell you, you need to position yourself. You need to get a better vantage point of the resurrected Lord. All over this house, would you stand? I'm about to open up these altars, but I want to make it clear to you what these moments are about right here. You know what prayer is about? You know what this altar time is about? It's about positioning yourself. It's about you coming from the position you were at to a new position and saying, God, here I am. I don't get everything. I don't understand everything. I don't know if I have enough faith. I don't know what's going on in my life, but here I am. I'm positioning myself. And it's that moment where you can see brand new things. That's the moment where brand new revelation comes. That's when the moment when scales fall off of blindness and you have brand new sight. That's the moment. We're standing in that moment right now. Why don't you come right now? I challenge you to come. If you want special prayer in this place, I want you to position yourself in the first 2 feet. We're going to pray with you. We're going to ask Jesus to speak to you. We're going to ask Jesus to heal you. Whatever need you got, we're going to ask Jesus to take care of it. Come on, I want somebody to pray within this house. Maybe you're a person with faith issues. I dare you to just start talking to Jesus and say, God, I got faith issues. I got doubt. And start to talk to him. Like, watch him reveal himself to you in Jesus' name. If you've been a believer all these years, I want you to come get a brand new glimpse of him. Yesterday's glimpse is not enough. There is more to him than what you know. Come get a glimpse of it. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person in this house. God, I pray, Lord, that you would meet their needs, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them, God. Lord, we're thankful for Jesus Christ. We're thankful for your resurrection. Lord, we're thankful that we live by believing in you. Lord, we're thankful that all our indebtedness was canceled and you nailed them to the cross. God, we surrender to you. I want you to speak to people in this house, Father. I want you to lead them, God, right to your cross, right to your grave, and right to the place of resurrection in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's talk to God, Redemption Church. God is so good.
For more information about redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.